program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. Well, June, yesterday you shared a story, a real live account, if you will, of a conversation that you had with someone, and you said this topic has been coming up for you, and there is great interest in the topic of suicide lately, as we've seen a rise in cases lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday I talked about a man that I had just met, and he had just said to the people at his table that he was suicidal. And I didn't know that until after he had just left, and I'd been talking with his wife. So I will be meeting her now. I've set the appointment for the next week. But the point is, this is what I also received yesterday, and this grieves my heart. I'm just going to read a very small portion of this communication from someone who was the head of our sorority when I was in college. Lovely person, just exceptional. And she said, "I have the sad task of informing you that Kurt died tragically. He has suffered for several years with severe bouts of depression and must have decided he didn't want to fight it any longer. He stopped taking his medications and formulated his plan without giving me the slightest indication. On the evening of December 10th, he left the house with his handgun, and I called the police for help. When the police arrived and asked him to put the gun down, he pointed it at them instead. They were forced to shoot him as I watched in horror through the front window. He died quickly, and now he is at peace with God in heaven." And then she was describing certain things about the family. When I saw this, I just gasped. I mean, I don't typically gasp, but here's a man who had worked on the Hubble telescope. A man who worked at NASA. I remember speaking one time in Houston, and my friend came to the program I was doing at a hotel, and I said, "Now, how did you happen to be here in Houston?" She said, "My husband works at NASA, and he did the simulators and all these things for the space shuttle." And wonderful man, not cocky, not, you know, just, so I can just, I'm going to make an appeal again. And the appeal that I made last night was, you never know who is going to be in your life who has lost hope. Sense of hopelessness, despair, is the step just before attempts for suicide, if they think there is no hope. And we have superb material that help you literally know what to do, what to say when somebody is on the brink, or someone who literally says, I just can't, I can't. One of the things that I've said, you need to know how to present the contract. The first time I ever presented this to somebody, I was being told, "Well, this person said I'm going to commit suicide." I said, I remember specifically asking. I was a Bible teacher at the time, maybe in my 30s. I was in my 30s for sure, and so. I took her seriously, and you always take seriously if somebody threatens. You don't know what they're going to do, but the contract for hope is where you're asking them, and we have this all written out. So I just encourage you to get our material if you don't have another way of knowing about this. my contract of hope. The following is a solemn binding contract. This contract cannot be declared null or void without the written agreement of both parties. I promise if I should consider harming myself, I will talk with you before I do anything destructive. I sign my name as a pledge of my integrity. And then you have signature and the person's name who is suicidal. Then the date, and then your name, your signature, and the date. And underneath that is a scripture. Anyone who is among the living has hope. That's Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4. And what my surprise is, many times I have literally had somebody say, I was going to commit suicide. I couldn't get in touch with you. Now I don't feel like it, but I just want you to know I did try to call you. And I was always so surprised. And I've, again and again, that's happened. How can we help you? Well, I know we can help you with some excellent wording, all kinds of arguments and answers, or questions and answers, do's and don'ts. We, you know, life is precious. It's given by God. And he says, this is, I always give Jeremiah 29:11. Write that down. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I'll say, you may not know the plan, but God has the plan, and he can fulfill that plan.
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
To Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions about any topic that we raise here on the program, we'd like to invite you to give us a call at 800-488-HOPE. We have these topics, over 100 topics that we'll be sure to address whatever you're dealing with, whatever your struggle might be. And we encourage you also to amass a kind of a lending library. If you have people who are you're looking to help them with some materials, you can do that as well and have our materials on hand to do that. Call customer support for the Keys for Living called Suicide Prevention, Hope When Life Seems Hopeless. We have that available, and you can order that. And the number is 800-488-4673. Also, I want to encourage you to check out our website at hopefortheheart.org/store. You can find our new updated Keys for Living, also the Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's biblical resources, and it's all there at hopefortheheart.org/store. Also, go to hopefortheheart.org, and you can find right there at the top of the page there is our donate button. We want to thank you for your support last year as we met our $150,000 year-end matching grant, and it allows us to expand ministry here and do so much more. So if you've been helped by this ministry, we want to encourage you to kind of bless that forward, and we thank you so much again for your support. Let's get to our caller for tonight, and this evening we have Lucy.
Well, hello, Lucy. Welcome to Hope.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Well, good to have you on our program. How can we help you, Lucy?
Well, I was trying to sum it all up, and it's a process, but I guess when I tried to figure out how would I start the, what I would like as far as the help from you, how to navigate helping my son as an adult, he's 18, will be 19 in September, as he lives with us, and we've had three children, and he's the last of the three. The other two have moved out, and everything is good. And he's a good boy, and he has social anxieties, and I'm trying to help him along throughout his, being with us, the last child, and helping him along. So I need help on learning how to set boundaries. Do I give him privacy? How do I go about teaching him our Christian ways, but not push him away? Because it's very difficult to me at this time for teenagers to grow up in what's all going on right now. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Great, great question. I cannot tell you how many parents are caught in a type of conundrum. It's like, I know I need to give him freedom, in other words, by virtue of years, but what is right to what degree? And it is a matter of degree. It's not a simplistic answer, also because it depends on the responsibility of the 18-year-old, and I'm glad you identified the age. Yes, he's classified as an adult, but I'm going to make some comments about 18-year-olds or people who are of his general age. Tell me, when you think of privacy, have there been problems that, in other words, have there been activities or actions that he has participated in that you think, I don't approve of this, So privacy a lot of times has to do with, what is my son, my daughter, of whatever age, accessing? Or what is my husband? It can be anybody. Is there something inappropriate, something that would be violating your values? That's one area. Secondly, I would want to understand what are the challenges. I understand, and I'd love for us to get to social anxiety, because that that this is showing your heart. You're a mom. Yes. You want your son to thrive. You want what's best for him. And it's so right for you to say, what do I do about his social anxiety? Is there something that I can do that's meaningful? So at least that's what I'm hearing you're saying. That's why you brought it up. But is there something that is, help me paint the picture for me of what is going on that you're saying, to what degree do I enforce house rules or law or So give me anything that has been, has anything been questionable or bothersome to you that would violate your values?
Well, we've had a, I don't even keep track of years, but 2 years ago, he had a girlfriend. We're pretty structured in our home in a good way, healthy way. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, that's why I do give him more, respect in a way that, you know, he's still attending church. He had a girlfriend, and I have called you guys with prayer requests a lot. So you have helped so much with your prayer group. And what happened was he had a girlfriend and he broke up, and she was a non-believer. We talked about it. He knew what he was doing. He learned from it. Now he's broken up with the girl, and he really, you know, to me was, I was so proud of him that he finally knew to set the boundary, and he broke it off. Now the social anxiety and all the anxieties have obviously after your first love has brought in, and I'll just be honest, marijuana. Okay. And I see it. We're very close, me and my son. And so I pray a lot, and I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I don't want to push him away or make him think that he can't tell me that he is. Because I had my days in the past. I know what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And I want him to know, you can come to me, because I know God is like that with us. You can tell me, because I already know. But I want you to be enough or close enough to me to where you can believe. You can tell me. I'm not going to say it's okay. That's where the privacy, and I'm asking you, you know, where do you set the boundaries? And mm-hmm. I prayed for God to wean him from that, because the anxiety, he thinks, you know, for now, he knows this is not the answer. I know, Mom, I'm trying to quit. I understand. He doesn't do it every night, but I know when he does it, I just try to teach him, look, I know that you think that's the answer right now, but try to get into your word. That's where the anxieties will kind of melt away. God will help you. But for now, he goes to marijuana. And do I go in his room? Yes, he knows I go into his room, and I do check, and he doesn't get angry, which, you know, he says, Mom, you know, I need my privacy, and I said, you know what, as long as you're under my roof, that's not really okay, and you can't keep that in my house. And I would say, I don't really think that's a good idea, Lucas, because of that. Mm-hmm. You are going to, you know, affect your body, you know, and these are the things that concern me. And I know that he likes to he likes sports, and he likes skateboarding, and I know he sees the effects of it. So that's where I'm at, as far as he is doing pretty well on one area of going to church, and he reads with us. We read every other night, and he reads himself, and I'm like, well, Lord, I think he's doing pretty good. But now I just think what I do is a lot of prayer for God to wean him from that. Mm-hmm, and I can't tell him, don't smoke. I can't tell him, but I can pray. And I know that I've seen that he respects that I don't just get angry, as you were talking about. Anger doesn't work. You shouldn't do that, you know, because he needs me to understand him the way God understands me. So that's kind of where I'm at with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for painting a lot of the picture. Let me make one comment about a niece who was smart and capable and all, and she was in Dallas, and I'm in Dallas, and she was here for the summer before going to graduate school, and she was quite upset with her mother for wanting to have a talk, to always have a phone conversation once a week. And she said, Aunt June, and I had a great relationship with her, Aunt June, I just think this is so wrong that, you know, I'm an adult and blah, 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 all this stuff. And so I said to her, I said, well, tell me, now, who is paying for your schooling? Are you or your, is your mom or your parents? Well, my parents. And who is paying for the room and board? They are. I said, so you're really not living independently. You're living as a dependent, mm-hmm. regardless of your age. And they are funding what your they're funding your education.
Yeah.
I said, and she knew I loved her, and she would listen to me, but she had great animosity toward her parents mm-hmm. for certain mm-hmm. reasons. But the point is, and she expected me to take her side. I mean, she just knew I was going to take her side. And I said, when you realize that, number one, they are literally providing for you, and that means when you are totally providing for yourself, then you really can be autonomous. Now, you could listen to counsel, but it is not the same as you living in a way where you are dependent on what they are providing. Mm-hmm. Again, she was so surprised that I did not take her side, mm-hmm. but she saw the reasoning. Now,
right.
The point is, and I in this situation would say, now let's see, he is living at home. Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, is he paying rent? So I'll just go on and ask, is he paying rent?
You know, my two daughters, I suggested that they pay $75, was it a month? And we're doing okay, we're not rich, but you know, mm-hmm. it was more of the teaching. Does he pays for his own dental work, let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
He's
okay.
doing pretty well, and he didn't cry about his first check of $1,000 to go towards that. And I think he has a pretty good attitude with that. So it's not so much rent, it's his responsibilities for himself. And so we're starting
you know, see,
there.
I love that.
Yeah.
See, you are teaching accountability. And I
yeah.
really respect you for that. This is huge. You're trying also to be sensitive and caring.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight, 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We want to thank you for your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. Our customer support team is ready to take calls at 800-488-HOPE, and they can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. Let me recommend to you for tonight the book called Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. That's Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. And it's available at 800-488-4673. If you'd like to get a copy of that, just order that there from the number, again, 800-488-HOPE. If you would like to speak with June about a specific situation in your life on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call us at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT. The number's 17. Just call and follow the prompts. Leave us a detailed message so we can get right back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17, 800-644-4817.
Well, my friend Lucy, my friend who's a mom who cares, and I hear your strong sense of wanting to be sensitive to your son, because you see that he has learned some things that, and we learned the hard way. Probably the greatest lessons I've learned, the most poignant ones, have been my wrong choices, or where I wish I had done something different over here. And, so pain can be used tremendously for a purpose. But I want to, since I have nieces and nephews, I have a wonderful, we'll put it this way, a nephew who wanted to stay with me for a while after high school. Now, I'm going to listen. I want you to listen very carefully. The IQ is phenomenal. I mean, way off the charts, like 185. That's just, and yet he could barely make it through high school. They questioned that he could make it. His grades, but delightful. And he adores me. I love him. He's not a believer at all. He grew up in an atheistic home. But I have a great relationship with him. Tall, dreadlocks, where he can sit on them. And so he wanted to work in our family company. I'm just being very candid with you. Just for a period of time. But he couldn't pass the drug test. And so, but he knew if he abstained, he might be able to. And then one day he got there. Now, he's got to go home for Christmas. He doesn't have to go, but he's going home for Christmas. And I say, okay, I know we have material that I'm going to send to you, my friend. I'm going to send you our material on alcohol and drug abuse, breaking free and staying free. Breaking free and staying free. Okay. That's just going to be a gift to you. And so
he
knew what that I had something like this. But instead, I remember before he left town, called his name. I said, I just want you to know I love you. And because I love you, I've spent 3 hours looking up all this research on marijuana. And I have highlighted it. So when you get on the plane, I'm just going to ask, would you be willing to go through what I have highlighted? And he looked at me. He put his hand on my forearm, and he said, Aunt June, you would spend 3 hours for me? And he got tears in his eyes. I said, well, yes, I love you.
Yeah.
He said, if anybody asked me to do it, I wouldn't do it. But for you, I will. I said, there are just some things that I want you to know. Yeah. And I do, I'm just because it's because I care. And, you know, it just so touched him deeply. And I realized, you see, I'm over here. I'm the aunt. I'm not the parent. So I can do things. Different people have different influence. Sometimes a grandparent can do something that a parent can't. But I'm not saying you can't, because I can tell how caring you are. Now, he got on the plane. Apparently he did read it, and he abstained and came back, and now he could pass the drug test. And for however, you know, at this maybe 2 months, he was, and he said, I don't want to go to college and all this stuff. Well, you know, here he has this huge IQ. And what it was is the stunted, well, it's the impact of marijuana. And so, like, even in our own keys for living that we have, we explain that just multiple kinds of, and it's on alcohol and drug abuse. And so I started going through this. I said, look at the dangers. Just, this is just for you to see. You know, it can cause cancer, bronchitis, conjunctivitis, birth defects, brain cell destruction. I see, now I already knew from his parents. And they were not they weren't believers, but the point is, they knew what was going on with his, how it did not help him, you know. It was a deterrent to keep him motivated. It kills motivation, you know. It's of course considered a gateway to other drugs, but what you see are all these other areas, which I'm assuming you have, it like inhibits motivation. It impairs short-term memory. Now, what happened was he came back and he was not on drugs, and so he was able to work at the family company. And then when he left, he said, Aunt June, I cannot guarantee you that I'm going to continue to not use marijuana. He said, but I just want to thank you because this enabled me. And see, he could see that, he could feel the difference in his body. And it was so interesting because, and then he did go back to it. Now, he lives now in a state where it is allowed, but he was in another state for a family something, and he got arrested. And do you know what? I mean, it was horrible because there's the three strikes and you're out. And there were different forms of it that he had. So I can tell you, I understand some things from a firsthand experience as a family member who loves a nephew who's bright off the charts, but it has impacted him mentally, and he doesn't have a Christian motivation to, and you know, he was willing to consider authentic Christianity, and he was as respectful as could be, you know. But you know, I would love for him to do what's best for him. A drug, you know, it doesn't matter to me what the law, a law allows. A law can be wrong, and it can not help. And I understand medical marijuana, I can make an allowance for that. But I'm talking about recreational marijuana. So my point is, I think you're right to really evaluate and try to think of the rationale. Now, you... Let's see, you're in California.
Yes.
And so the law is what in California?
You know, it's so minimal that I don't smoke it, so I don't even know. But, you know, when I check his room and I found what I found, it was just a tiny bit. But mm-hmm. where he keeps it elsewhere, I think the friends, they know how to, you know, mm-hmm. say you keep it over at your house. Or, but, you know,
oh, sure.
the funny
it can be
thing
hidden.
Is
yeah.
the friends, you know, the friends, they come together and they smoke together and they all have, mm-hmm. you know, their pain together in a sense, and they take care of it that way. And so, you know, what I find is the prayer, as you know, is just so important. And I've been praying for his friends, and I know that they know we're Christians. And so, you know, to be honest, June, I don't even think that it bothers me right now. I think right now that a lot of people that he comes in contact with are finding out who we are, and I pray for their salvation. And mm-hmm. he really connects with, you'd be surprised, June, we know a Muslim little boy who we went to Disneyland mm-hmm. with, and he stayed with us, and he is the one who is right now, he's hurting. And he's a Muslim mm. little boy, and I mm-hmm. really, I love him. His dad passed away, and there's a lot mm. of pain.
Yes.
And so do I care about the marijuana? No, I just watch my son. I make sure I kind of watch. And I'm not worried about it, but I say, Lord, these kids are hurting out there. Mm-hmm. So many different faiths that my son, he has many friends of different faiths, Mormon. He doesn't smoke, But it's just interesting that I'm like, I asked the Lord, what are you doing? What do you want me to do? And he just continues to tell me just to pray for them. 'Cause people don't know what to do, so they go to drinking and marijuana mm-hmm. when you're young. And like yeah. you said, I let my son know, look, I just don't want it to turn into something else. I got it, Mom. I got it, Mom. I said, I know you think you have it, but it's really tricky, and the enemy knows how to slide. Oh, why don't you try this, and then why don't you try that? Because you're trying to numb a pain that's not it's mm-hmm. not going to work. Mm-hmm. Marijuana is just going to be temporary, and then you're going to go to something stronger. So don't be naive, and I want you to let your friends know that. So,
well, let me ask a quick question: is he thinking this yes. helps him with his? Does he think the marijuana helps him with his social anxiety?
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
I think at this time during the corona and social anxiety and just being bored, they can't do much. So they go out and the one friend picks them up in the car and they go hang out and they smoke probably and or hang out or park, I don't know. But that mm-hmm. he knows that it's getting boring. I could tell God is weaning him from it. But I said, Lucas, you got to be the light for your friends. So that's what I'm trying to talk to him about. You got to be the light, so don't let them change you. You have to be the light and not let the marijuana take over that. So
good. Good. So you're appealing to his conscience, but not in a condemning way. You're in fact challenging him to make a difference among his friends.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I remember I had a decision to make, and I didn't know what to do because I was, initially I wasn't even a Christian, but I was getting exposed to some scripture. And I will tell you the one thing that made a difference to me when we come back.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common: a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people. Connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have questions or concerns about alcohol and drug abuse, we have resources that will help you. Call our customer support team now at 800-488-HOPE, and you can order those resources. We have the keys for living called Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Breaking Free and Staying Free. Also recommending the book, Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. Customer support can help you access those resources. The number again is 800-488-4673. Or you may email us at customercare@hopefortheheart.org. That's if you have any questions regarding topics and resources discussed in a particular program. They'd be happy to help you there, or you can order directly through that email. Again, that's customercare@hopefortheheart.org. Also, while you're at hopefortheheart.org, you can look at the top of the page there, and you can donate. And we encourage you to go there, take a look at the website, and if our materials have helped you, we encourage you to give to support others being helped by those materials as well. So we thank you for that. Again, that's hopefortheheart.org. Let's get
well,
back to our
friend,
call.
My friend, I'm also going to send you something. It's called Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. And I wrote this. I was a youth director, and I love kids and youth in particular. And I just turned to something in here on drug and alcohol abuse, but thought I'd read it to you. Teens get conflicting messages about marijuana. Parents who smoked marijuana as teens need to know it has 50% more THC, which is the active ingredient in marijuana, today than it had when they smoked marijuana. Mm-hmm. This THC elevates dopamine levels and can negatively impact the brain's production of dopamine, so that today's teens who smoke pot are more likely to become addicted to it and to suffer the side effects of short-term memory loss, problems with concentration, and lack of coordination that have always been associated with marijuana. So that's just something I'll send to you. You know, you never know what you need to use at some point. I'm not telling you you should, you know, show him this, but I just think as much as we can be prepared, the Bible says always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks for the reason for our hope. But do this with gentleness and respect. Well, you have that. You've got that, the gentleness and respect, which is huge, because that builds bridges. And the thing that made a difference to me, because I was not raised in a church where anything about alcohol, drug abuse, anything, you know, was ever mentioned. And then all of a sudden I'm in a biblically based church, and I, you know, I'm thinking, well, what do I do? Because I know you know, so I wanted to know for me. And I was, any scripture was brand new. Everything was brand new because I, not being, not having exposure to the Bible. And I was so surprised when I read this. It's Romans 14:21. It is better not to, now, eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to stumble or be made weak. And I thought, so this is the concept. It's people could follow your example. By the way, the eat meat has to do with meat offered to idols. It's a whole different concept for us. But I thought, now, because I was updating age and I was trying to figure out what do I do. But I also had an Uncle Billy who had died of alcoholism. Well, he died of suicide. But he became an alcoholic. And I thought, how do I know if I am going to be an alcoholic or not? I don't know. Because I did know there was a chemical, that some people have a chemical disposition and others do not. And, I'm very aware of this. So anyway, the bottom line is, I thought, do I really need this? I mean, what do I do? And so this was the turning point for me. And it was like, I don't want somebody to follow my example. And then, even if I'm not an alcoholic, even if I wouldn't be an alcoholic, I don't want to cause somebody else to stumble. And so sometimes with some people, like with me, it made a difference. Romans 14:21. And if we care about, my life was changing so much as I was after becoming a Christian, and I came from such a dysfunctional family that I needed some stability, and I certainly made my unfair share of mistakes and wrong choices, but I liked having principles that I could put into operation or that I could put into my life. And so I'm just thinking, I like you so much because you are so conscientious. You're right. You don't want to push somebody away, but you also have values and you are living them out before him. And so I think the issue, as you asked about privacy, well, most conscientious parents I know that to be the best parent possible, if there is a question about something that is going to work against my son, my daughter, then those are house rules that I'm going to do what is, I'm responsible before God to do what is in your best interest. This is my mandate from God. And it's not anything against you. It's only for you, whether you would value it or not. But I've got to answer to God for, so that is a kind of mindset that even kids who would rather not be checked up on, but they can understand it because it's now another thing. Your son is not 25 years old, is he?
No,
he's not.
No,
28. No. Do you know that the Bible? Sorry, do you know that the brain does not fully develop until age 25 to 28?
Right.
The emotional part is the amygdala that it develops faster, sooner than the prefrontal cortex, which is your decision making. And this is why so many kids make stupid mistakes that are sometimes fatal, because they're being emotionally driven or peer pressured with other kids. And so that's why you have been put by God in his life and he is in your life, and you pray that You will literally be the parent that God created you to be. And I
I used to be afraid to tell him, you know, something because I would push him mm-hmm. away. But I know as a kid and as I was brought up Catholic, my mom was a very straightforward person. And I'm straightforward with him. But even though I would be afraid because I would think I was going to push him away, I knew that he loved me and respected me more after I confronted the situation instead of just let him do whatever he wanted. I saw the difference in that, and I think a lot of parents, like, they talk about want to be a good friend to their child because you think you're going to push them away, but a child wants the parent to be the parent, and even though you think that, you know, you might want to just go easy on them, they love you later for putting your foot down at that time and saying, hey, you know, like I talk to him and I say, I know that you're smoking weed. I can see it in your body language. I know. So whenever you're ready to tell me, you know, just say yeah. Just like I'm trying to teach him to tell the truth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you? And he'll say, no. I said, well, when you're ready to tell me, you did. I'm not saying it's okay. Know that you can tell me. So it's just been a very interesting road to where it didn't push him away, and he likes, like your nephew likes to be around you. My mm-hmm. son likes to be around me, and I think that that's because of the biblical foundation that God wants us, when we put things in order the way God wants, it works. And
yes.
We are not to be their friends. We can be, cool. You know what I mean? Like, you're a cool aunt. I could tell. They mm-hmm. like to be around you. You're
yeah.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
But we
mm-hmm.
don't bend the rules and say, yeah, let's go smoke together. No, we don't do that. But, mm-hmm. hey, tell me what's going on. And I think the marijuana, to be honest, boys emotionally, they don't know how to express their hurt. And I think that with the girlfriend and all the things that go on with his friends, he is a listening kind of boy. They always pour their problems on my son. And he comes and tells me, and we pray, but he gets a lot of, I said, you have to set some boundaries because, you know, they want to come to you, but now are you going to help them? Are you going to be the light to help them? Or are you going to mm-hmm. continue to smoke the marijuana to where it goes nowhere but vapors? You know? And mm-hmm. so that's the help that you have to help them to know. And I said, bring them to me, and I'm still trying to teach him. Bring them to me. I'll talk to them about God, or I'll help them to know that I care
good
about
for you.
What's
good.
Hurting them. So
yeah.
you don't, you know, he's just a little shy in that, you know, God thing. But he said,
well,
okay,
he
well,
is absorbing, though,
yeah.
so much from mm-hmm. you in a positive way. There are many parents
yeah.
who are not positive examples. You have the right heart with the spiritual underpinnings. And so I will love giving you several things. There's one thing that I'm going to just kind of tell you from this bonding with your teen through boundaries. It's a way you talk. This is 36 different scenarios, and this was refusing church participation, which this is not your situation, but listen to this approach.
Okay.
You would say, like, honey, more and more, I'll be giving you greater and greater freedom to make your own choices. And one day you'll be on your own, making all your own decisions. But for now, God has given me the privilege of having you under my protection and direction. Do you want me to do what is pleasing to God? And you wait. What would he say?
Yeah.
I would imagine he would say yes. And you say, my highest priority has to be to please God, especially where it concerns you. And because I love you deeply, I want to please you too. However, I know there will be times when I can't do both. In this case, it would be wrong for me to say, you don't need to, whatever, you know, whatever the issue is. So the point is, it's a way to talk that's sensitive and caring. And your first responsibility is to be led by God. And that means if he tells you to say something or to put a boundary, you do it because you love him.
We do send resources to each night's caller. We do that free of charge due to your generous support of this ministry. And let me recommend to you the keys for living called Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Breaking Free and Staying Free. Also the book Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. Those are available as you get in touch with us if you would like to order them for yourself at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, you can check out our broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart, and that's a free download for you. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.